In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, feelings have an immense power over us. Our whole attitude toward our life, our efforts at improvement, or the ceasing of all efforts are unfortunately very largely affected by our feelings. Prayers are often taken up and then dropped simply because we do not feel in the mood. We seem to think that God is pleased not by our prayers, but how we feel during our prayers. And suppose that we're saints when we feel saints, and sinners when we feel sinners, while probably the opposite is true. It's often the case that we actually come nearer to God when we feel farthest away from Him. As a whole, we have very little control over our feelings, but have complete control over our will. We have to distinguish between the fact that we may not necessarily feel the sweetness of God's presence, but sincerely desire Him and want to feel His nearness. Instead of losing heart based on our feelings, we should realize that the cause of our trouble is often beyond our control, such as ill health, poor weather, or any external thing which may take away our feelings of fervor in prayer. My dearly beloved in Christ, since we often cannot produce emotions proper to the occasions, we're not at fault for how we feel or be held responsible for it if they are not willful or deliberate. It might be said that others seem to have more control and more effective influence over our emotions than we have. Father Bede Jarrett writes that others are more likely to compel me to weep, to love, to laugh than I can force myself to do. But then I must deliberately realize that religion cannot be built up on such frail and uncertain material. Original sin did not change man's nature, but it did deform it. God had made man as He had made everything else in an orderly way. Mind over matter. Adam's pride introduced the spirit of private enterprise into man's lower faculties and passions. It was still mind over matter. That is why we're guilty when we sin. But the flesh was in a constant state of anarchy, and the spirit needed help. It's also true, however, that our sentiments or feelings can be quite reasonable at times. Feelings can, when under proper safeguards in dealing with ourselves and others, play a considerable part in our worship of God. Jesus Himself wept over the future destruction of Jerusalem, over the death of Lazarus, and over the sins of the world. My dearly beloved in Christ, our worship of God must include an appeal to the entire person. This keeps our faith from becoming harsh, gloomy, and unnaturally puritanistic. Even though we cannot build our faith on feelings, we nevertheless cannot leave them out completely. It's human to have happiness and gladness of soul. This makes our faith joyful, easy, and natural. Some have made the statement, "I do not feel that I love God enough." Our faith and devotion should be based not on feelings or emotion, but on reason and will. As long as our will is turned to God and our effort is to keep hold of Him by following His teaching, obeying His laws, and frequenting the Holy Sacrifice and the Mass and the sacraments, we will be doing the best we can, and that is what God expects from us. It's often the case that our prayers can be more worth if they do not result in feelings of accomplishment or pleasure. For all consolation really comes freely from God and not from our own individual efforts. Union with God is attained by submission to His holy will, which entails self-sacrifice and mortification of our lower passions, which would otherwise lead to selfishness and self-seeking. If we persevere in our prayers without being motivated by feelings of delight or pride, our perseverance in them will certainly be supernatural, for there will be no natural motive for continuing them. My dearly beloved in Christ, all our actions should be prompted by our love for God. To be devout and continue exercise of piety because of a deep love for God, not because of feelings, shows that we seek God for himself and not for the consolation he may give us. Basically, it is how we deal with our feelings that enables us to gain merit or not. For example, every one of us can say that we've been hurt by the lack of charity shown us by others, even family members. We cannot deny the hurt feelings. However, we can choose either to nurture them, grovel in self-pity, say offensive words back, or we can choose to offer them up to God and cheerfully get on with our day. We can also choose to use such experiences as a deep felt lesson to lead us to avoid being unkind to another so that we do not cause them such pain as we've experienced. Our world has little joy because it sins so much. And since there is enough sorrow and suffering in this world as it is, we should do our best to avoid adding more to it. Cheerfulness is very much needed, not only in our surroundings, but in the very life of our soul. It helps us to weather the wear and tear of life and bridle self-love and self-pity. My dearly beloved in Christ, there's a true story told of a head nurse of a hospital ward who asked a priest to visit a patient who upset everyone. He had two cracked ribs, a broken ankle, and self-pity. He was a sympathy seeker. Though the man in the next bed had just come back from surgery, the ill-tempered patient still had their radio blaring. "When are you going home?" the priest asked. "Home," he snorted. "I can't go home. I'm in bad shape. I have internal injuries." While he was complaining, Jane Froman's voice came over the radio, and his eyes lit up for a minute. "Do you enjoy listening to her?" the priest asked. "Some people get all the breaks. That's why she can be happy." "Wait a minute," the priest stopped him. 7 years ago, Jane Froman was flat on her back in a hospital with several fractures from a plane accident. Severely injured, she went through 39 operations, after which she had to wear a leg brace and use a wheelchair. Though paralyzed, she made a glorious comeback. She still sings to make people happy. My dearly beloved in Christ, before we let our feelings get the best of us, we must remind ourselves that God works all things towards the good of our soul and the souls of others. We should not try to deny how we feel, but turn them toward God for the benefit of our soul and use them to get closer to him as our loving Father who cares for us with infinite love. My dearly beloved in Christ, I'll conclude with a true and very moving story. Frederick Snight Jr. lived in an iron lung for 18 years. Miss Pesek was his nurse for only two of those years, 1949 to 1951. But she says she owes this most famous polio victim in the world more than anyone else does. For it was through Mr. Snight that the gift of faith was given to her. The heavy shadow that hung over all was a fear that the iron lung might go wrong. Every day, Frank's parents, his wife and his children would kneel in front of the iron lung and recite the rosary with him. Very slowly, the three little girls would be closest to their father. That soft, unhurried prayer impressed Miss Pesek, just as she was impressed by Fred's patience and simplicity. When she was on the job, she had been afraid the family would talk her into becoming a Catholic, but nobody mentioned religion to her. Fred did a lot of spiritual reading. Without saying anything, Miss Pesek started to read about the church when she was off duty. Once, shortly before daybreak, Miss Pesek noted a sudden silence. The machine had stopped pumping. The bellows were not moving. She knew that Fred could last only as long as a normal person could survive underwater. She ran to the telephone but got no answer. Then she grabbed the handle that was used to pump the bellows by hand in emergencies, but it was stuck. She took off her slipper and banged a handle with the heel, but still couldn't move it. Fred was going fast. She cried, "Pray, pray, pray." Then she pumped the bellows without using the handle for an eternity of 20 minutes. Finally, help came. 10 minutes later, when everything was all right again, she heard Fred say, "Poor Miss Pesek, what an ordeal for you." Miss Pesek really cried, not because she was sorry for herself, but because Fred was always so sorry for everyone else. Miss Pesek went to Fred Snyte's funeral in 1954. A eulogy was given, but she could only think of the words that Fred had once said, "The faith that brought me peace also taught me that this life is a preparation for the next. In other words, I have a job to do like everybody else. I have not been left out." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.